The musical pointed out that we are to seek to be humbled. The words of the song said this: it looks like they need someone important. You think this could be your big break. You think you've got what it takes, but maybe it takes some being humble. It takes some being kind. It takes some serving if you really want to shine. It's thinking of others first. It's loving with all your heart. That's how you do it if you want to be a star. And that's the truth, isn't it? If you want to be a star according to God's plan, we need to make sure that we are humble and not prideful. They read Philippians 2. Let me read to it again about Jesus. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Jesus is the example, isn't he, of humility and not being prideful, not exalting yourself, but being humble to serve others. That's one of the themes that we heard this morning. But there's another theme also that you noticed in the musical, and that is seeing who the real star of the show, Christmas, is really. It is Jesus. Again, the words of the song, Illumination Christmas, telling everyone that Christ is born. It points to one who's greater. The real superstar, they sang, is Jesus. His light shines bright over all the world tonight. What they're doing is reflecting upon the fact that that's what the biblical story tells us. If you have your Bible with you this morning, you can turn to Matthew chapter 2 for a moment. Just a few words about that. Or if you don't, there's a Bible pew there, a pew in the Bible there, a Bible in the pew there. I'll get it right. Page 958. And I want to read for you, it's going to be on the screen too, Matthew 2, 9 through 12. Matthew 2, 9 to 12 says, after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. In the Bible here, we have the story then of the star shining on Jesus. But there's some background to that story here. In verse 9, it says that they went to Bethlehem. Who are the they? They're mentioned in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. The Magi came following the star, but who are these Magi? We tend to call them the wise men. Some years ago, I received an email from a woman in our church that said this. It said, Pastor, you do know what would have happened if it had been wise women instead of men, don't you? They would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought disposable gifts of diapers. Well, maybe so. The Magi, who are they? Most likely they are astronomers. They are skilled in medicine and natural science of that day. We get our word magician, magistrate, and magic from that word. It is suggested that they are from the area of Persia or Babylon, which would be Iraq or Iran today. It says in verse 1 simply that they came from the east, but they apparently had been highly influenced by prophecy from the Bible, maybe even back all the way to Daniel, that they knew about this birth of a king, that God was sending someone unique and very, very special for the Jewish people. Now, we get very confused often about the idea of the Magi at Christmas because of the song we sang this morning, We Three Kings of Orient Are. which was written by an Episcopal minister back in the 1800s from Pennsylvania named John Hopkins. But he got a few things different than the biblical account. He says that they came from the Orient, not quite that far east is where they came from. He also says, or we think about it in the song, that there were three wise men. We assume that because there were three gifts that they brought to Jesus. But some scholars, and the Bible doesn't say that there were what number there were, but some think it's possible there could have been as many as 12 wise men, which would really mess up your manger scene. How are you going to get all those guys around the manger, okay? We associate them with camels, right? They came on camels. Well, it doesn't say in the Bible that they came on anything in particular. We call them kings. The Bible doesn't say that they were kings. We don't know that. But what the Bible does tell us here in verse 2 is that they came to find the one who was born the King of the Jews. Again, they had heard about this promised king who is unique from God. And notice in verse 2 it says they come to worship him. They want to worship this king. And it says that they came to follow the star from the east. The star, by the way, which is supernatural. It's unique. It traverses the sky. They actually follow it. It actually can stop and start in different places. It's a supernatural star of the heavens. And it leads them to Jerusalem. And when they get to the city of Jerusalem, they come upon their king, Herod. And Herod is not a popular fellow. Herod is a very prideful fellow. He wants no competition. He gathers religious leaders as they ask where the king is to be born, and he asks them, where is the king to be born? And the religious scholars tell him, they quote Micah the prophet, who wrote 700 years before Jesus was even born. Listen to what he wrote. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They knew Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. And so they are sent off to Bethlehem, the nearby town. Herod says, I'll come later and worship him. Not what he wanted to do was get rid of him and the competition he would bring. So they go to Bethlehem. And once again, in verse 9, they see the star. And it miraculously stands over where Jesus is. As the musical pointed out, though, it was not some adult king that the star brought them to. It was a baby. Some suggest he was even maybe a little older than that, up to 2 years old, because it mentions there's a house here. It mentions that Herod kills the kids 2 years and under. The word baby here is not used, but the word child, which is older. So it's possible he's a little bit older than that. But it doesn't really matter because of why they came. Verse 10 says, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy as they saw this star pointing to Jesus. Then notice verse 11. They go in, they see the child, and it says they fell down and worshiped him. That little phrase, fell down, is not a slow, sweeping bow. It is not gently kneeling. It literally means to collapse on the ground. Kind of like one of the kids up here a little earlier. It means collapse, to fall down on the ground. And it says they worshiped him, which means to ascribe worth and acknowledge the worth of someone. It was pure devotion. It was pure adoration. It was pure homage to Jesus. It could have been verbal praise that they gave. They could have sang. They could have wept. But they were kneeling and bowing before baby Jesus. So we come again to the real star of the show. Jesus is the center of our worship. As the kids sang, he is the one who made the day and night. He is the one who gives us light. So we take our place to give him high praise. The real superstar? It's Jesus. Jesus, who they worshiped, and the reason they worshiped him is the same reason we worship him today. This Jesus is God, who took on humanity without ever diminishing his deity, fully God and fully man, who humbled himself and laid aside his divine privileges of heaven to come to this world and to grow up and to die on the cross. Again, Philippians 2:8 says, that he was found in appearance as a man, but he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Peter says that Christ died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order to bring us to God. This Jesus died, and then he rose again and lives today to give us a relationship with the living God, to give us grace, to give us mercy, to give us forgiveness, to give us purpose in life, and to allow us to praise God from whom all blessings flow. He came so that we might believe in him and join the illumination celebration, to shine our lives on the Savior Jesus, who is the real star of the show. We talk about the term being star-struck. Well, I hope today that, like the children who sang to us today, that you would be star-struck, struck by the reality that this Jesus has come to be your Savior and mine. If you've never believed in him, why not today? Why not be starstruck and to see the illumination of this Christ who is our Savior? The Magi were guided to the real star by the light of that ancient and miraculous star of Bethlehem. And while our musical assigned the name Jane and a humble attitude to that star, we know the real focus of Scripture is that the star brought people to Jesus so they might worship the real star, not ultimately of a show, but the real star of our lives. Why we celebrate Christmas. Again, in the words of the musical, it's time to shine. Let's all get started. Burn big and bright for all to see. We will radiate, fill the sky with praise. Nothing like you've seen before. It's creation's declaration telling everyone that Christ is born. As Matthew says, they fell to the ground and they worshiped him, the real star of the show. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much that these children have led the way by truly shining bright with their beautiful faces and their wonderful music, by truly telling us this is the real story. It's not about being prideful. It's not about our getting our way. It's about what way you came to us to bring us life, that we might have it abundantly. Lord, I thank you so much that we can gather today and celebrate Jesus, who came and died and rose again, lives today, that we might celebrate Christmas year in and year out and every day between, to be able to say, this is the truth of the gospel of hope and forgiveness and grace. This is Jesus. Lord, I pray that no one would leave this place without understanding that that relationship with God through Christ is available to them, that we can know the real star. Oh God, thank you for that star that came to give us the greatest joy of all time, the joy of being able to celebrate Jesus. We celebrate him today. We celebrate the real star. We celebrate with great joy, and we join the angels in proclaiming him as our Savior and our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.